At Royal Tire in Petoskey, we know that you've got things to do and places to go. And you need safe and reliable tires that will get you there and back every time. Tires like the Michelin Defender LTX or the Michelin Cross Climate 2. We believe in these tires so much, we put them on our own vehicles. So stop by Royal Tire today and let our tire experts find the right Michelin tire to keep you and your family safe. When you think tires, think Royal Tire in Petoskey.
Land of ours is under attack. Time has come, we're gonna take it back. Just go wait and see. Don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. The time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land. From sea to sea, don't tread on me. Tell your neighbors, tell all your friends. Gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my freedom, God's only Son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. No.
Hey, everybody. Welcome on into the second hour of Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. This Friday, day after Thanksgiving, November 29, 2024 edition. Joining us on the line right now, Pastor Chatfield, as usual in this time slot. I can hear him shuffling his lesson plan around, lining things up on this one. And I got to tell you, man, you got me stumped. United States versus the Church of the Holy Trinity from 1892.
Right. This the Church of the Holy Trinity was suing the federal government over a law. The law was the Alien Contract Labor Law of 1885, which prohibited, quote, the importation and migration of foreigners and aliens under contract or agreement to perform labor or service of any kind in the United States, its territories, and District of Columbia. Now, believe me, back in this day, there was an American First policy. And part of the American First policy is we did not want foreign laborers flooding our country and taking jobs. And so that was a law.
But let me stop you on that point, because I'm thinking of the timeline you're talking about. This is after the Civil War. This is when we're reconstructing basically the country. Also, wasn't this the time that we were pushing for the railroads heading out west? Was that part of the Chinese labor coming in to work on the railroads?
Yes.
Was that the group we're talking about?
Yeah, that's what it was aimed at.
Okay.
That's what it was aimed at. So what happened was there was a church, an Anglican Episcopalian church in New York, that called an English pastor, and they were under suit against the government. Says you can't do that, and they went to court and said, "Well, wait a minute here. We're a church, and this pastor that we have is from England, and we think it's okay." They were ruled against on the lower courts, and it went to the United States Supreme Court. And so this was argued. Does this law prevent a church from hiring or calling who they, the pastor that they want? And the Supreme Court came down on the side of the name of the church was Church of the Holy Trinity. And they went way beyond that. And they basically said this, and I'll read you portions of the opinion that was put out by the court that said, not only can't you do this, you got to understand that this is a Christian nation. The line that it reverberates still to this day says, and this is kind of a summation of their argument, these and many other matters which might be noticed add a volume of unofficial declarations to the mass of organic utterances that this is a Christian nation. So the United States Supreme Court declared that the United States is a Christian nation. Now, that sounds bizarre today. It was Barack Hussein Obama who first said in 2009, this is not a Christian nation.
Right.
And when I heard that, I said, whoa, wait a minute here. This is that's not what our history says. There wasn't enough clamor among Christians to drown that out, and the culture was going a different way. But we were, this is a Christian nation. By the way, wherever you build a house, wherever the foundation is laid, that's where the house is. Now, you can deny it. You can try to deny it. But it's the house is where the foundation was laid.
Absolutely. All of our founding documents, we'll talk more about it. But I want to get into the lawsuit specifically. We'll continue on with Pastor Chatfield after this break. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TRUCKERRANDY, or call 800-654-9659.
Life is a wonderful journey, from fresh beginnings and future adventures to all the best life has to offer. Along this incredible journey, you want to safeguard what's most important to you. Hi, I'm Tristan Cole, your local Farm Bureau insurance agent, and I'm always nearby to help protect you and your loved ones along the way. Let's talk about your journey and protecting what matters most. Call me at 231-533-6489 or visit me online at TristanCole.com. We're Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. SlimFast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back, plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days without any exercising. Then I met Missy of MyPure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com. Follow my journey with Missy and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today.
LegendarySystems.net now offers affordable remote tech support for your computer, the same service that large companies have been using for years. To discuss your needs and pricing, call us at 231-818-8349. Don't take your computer in for repairs. Let us do it remotely. Again, call us today at 231-818-8349.
Maybe you're looking to sell an old firearm that's been sitting around the house just collecting dust. Or maybe you've been thinking it's time to upgrade to a newer model or caliber. Either way, the place to go is Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey. pistols, rifles, shotguns. They buy and sell pretty much anything that goes boom when you pull the trigger. Except rocket launchers, they don't buy or sell those. So if you're looking for a new firearm or just want to sell old Betsy, you're sure to get a fair price and friendly service to boot at Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to Into the Show. Pastor Chatfield, I need clarification. This law in 1885, you said, basically made America first. Putting our American workers first is why they passed the law. Why did the church then sue in 1892? I don't understand the correlation.
Because they were threatened. Oh, well, you hired a preacher, the Episcopal Church, from England. And they argued this has nothing to do with that law. Now, the courts, were they arrested, charged? Maybe they were. I guess I'm not familiar enough. I don't know exactly the details and exactly how this, but they lost in the lower courts. And it came to the Supreme Court, and David Brewster, an associate justice of the Supreme Court, wrote the majority opinion and went beyond just saying, no, you know, there's an exemption here because of the First Amendment to churches. Went beyond that, made a sweeping statement, as I already read, and I'll read it again, that this is a Christian nation. The Supreme Court declared us a Christian nation. Now, they did it based on all our organic documents. That means all the things, all the documents that were to our origins. And they went back and started, they went all, Brewster went back in his opinion, went all the way back to Christopher Columbus and declaring that this is a Christian nation. He said that our laws and our institution must necessarily be based and embody the teachings of the Redeemer of mankind. It is impossible that it should be otherwise. And in this sense, and to this extent, our civilization and our institutions are emphatically Christian. No purpose of action against religion can be imputed to any legislation, state or national, because this is a religious people. And by the way, and I've told you this many times, back 150 years ago, 140 years ago, When they said this is a religious people, it meant this is a Christian people. I mean, it used to be religion and Christian were used synonymously. George Washington always talked about religion. The Northwest Ordinance talks about religion. When we put this in our creating the Northwest Territory, when we say religion, morality, and knowledge being necessary to good government and the preservation of liberty and the happiness of mankind, schools shall forever be encouraged. And religion, Christianity, is necessary to the happiness of mankind. When they said the word religion, they're talking about Christianity. Because we were, especially in the 1780s, when we started, we were 99% Protestant Christian. Now, by 1882, we weren't 99%, but we were still, I'm going to throw a guess out there, 60 to 70% Protestant, maybe 80%. The Roman Catholic people began coming to this country in the 1840s because of a potato famine in Ireland. And they migrated to Boston, to New York. And that's where you had the Irish Catholic people from which JFK, John F. Kennedy, descended. Sure. He was an Irish Catholic. There weren't very many Irish Catholics at all in America at the founding of our country. Boston and Massachusetts were very, very thoroughly congregational denomination. They didn't become predominantly Catholic till way later. And then in the turn of the 20th century, when we moved into the 20th century, then we had the influx of Italians, Sicilians, Polish, all Roman Catholic people. that came to America and lived mostly in the cities. And that's part of the demographic. And the Polish, the Italian, the Irish, in great numbers, became part of the Democratic Party. And so that's the beginning of the cities being Democratic strongholds and the rural areas being Republican strongholds. That's the beginning of it. And that still kind of rings true to this day, but sure. Not as much.
Yeah.
Not as much as it was. So that's the history of that. But he says we go all the way back to Christopher Columbus. Brewster writes, the commission to Christopher Columbus, that it is hoped that by God's assistance, some of the continents and islands in this ocean will be discovered, is that we may promote the Christian religion. He goes back to Roanoke, Sir Walter Raleigh, talking about how they wanted to bring Christianity to the New World. And then the first charter to Virginia, Jamestown, says, in propagating the Christian religion to such people as yet live in darkness. Then again, especially in 1620, the Mayflower Compact, in the name of God, amen. We come to this new land, to plant a colony in northern parts of Virginia for the glory of God, honor of king and country, and the advancement of the Christian religion. In other words, this very country, the original founders came based on the idea that we wanted a Christian religion. They quote William Penn. They quote Thomas Hooker and the Fundamental Orders of Connecticut, which were thoroughly Christian. Every one of the colonies had that idea in it. Even Rhode Island, which separated the institutions of the church and state, for which we are very thankful, but they were still Christian. And not one particular denomination of Christian, but Christian. Then they go on, and you've heard me talk about this so many times, the Declaration of Independence. Again, Brewster says this, quoting the Declaration, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they're endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. And then he quotes that. Then again, the end of the Declaration, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions. And then again, and for the support of this Declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Everybody that signed that document believed in God. Everybody that signed the Declaration and the Constitution believed in God and the morality of the Bible. Now, they weren't all, I can't claim they were all Orthodox Christians. People like Jefferson, he was not, you can't call Jefferson, who wrote the Declaration, an Orthodox Christian. But there were many that were. And they all agreed that rights come from God in the foundational truths of the Bible and natural law, that all men are created equal.
Absolutely.
Here's another summation. We find everywhere a clear recognition of the same truth. Because of a general recognition of this truth, that we are a Christian nation, the question has seldom been presented to the courts. Now, and that's true. And in other words, nobody ever questioned, is this a Christian nation? Because everybody knew it was a Christian nation. And this court, and as courts are prone to do even to this day, they took a small question about whether this law of 1885 could be... it could be applied to a preacher. And they expanded and said, whoa, this is a Christian nation. Again, Brewster writes in the opinion, there is no dissonance in these declarations. There is a universal language pervading them all. Having one meaning, they affirm and reaffirm that this is a religious nation. These are not individual sayings, declarations of private persons. They are organic utterances. They speak with the voice of the entire people. While because of a general recognition of this truth, the question has seldom been presented to the courts. You find that in Uptograph versus the Commonwealth, it was decided that Christianity, general Christianity, is and always has been a part of the common law. Let me make a comment there. Part of the common law. The laws of England were based on common law, long-held traditions that everybody knew, courts recognized. When we came to America, we were not content just to have common law. We wanted constitutions. We wanted things in writing. One of the principal foundations of our Constitution is written law. But at the bottom of all law and common law, there has to be some moral consensus. And the consensus was
oop, Rusty, did we lose you?
Presumed to be true. So presumed. Not Christianity with an established church, Brewster continues, but Christianity with liberty of conscience to all men. And in another case, People versus Ruggies, Chancellor Kent, the great commentator on American law, speaking as Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of New York, said, and they quote, a state court that ruled on this subject, in which they put into the United States decision. The people of this state, New York, in common with the people of this country, profess the general doctrines of Christianity as the rule of their faith and practice. We are a Christian people, and the morality of the country is deeply engrafted upon Christianity and not upon the doctrines of worship of those imposters. And you've heard me teach this, and I talked a week or two ago, I talked about Frederick Bastiat and the law. There is always a moral premise behind a law. Every law. You heard people say things like this, well, you can't legislate morality. This is so ridiculous. Of course you can. You do. As a matter of fact, every law is some, there's some moral premise. Every single law has a moral idea behind it. For instance, we have laws against stealing. Why? Well, we think it's wrong to take a gun or go into somebody's house and rob them. It's against the law. Why? Because we think it's wrong. We think that you shouldn't invade that person's home, their privacy, and violently take away their goods. We think it's wrong. Therefore, there are laws against it. Well, you can't legislate morality. Of course you can. And we do. Everything is like that. The question arises, whose morality will be legislated? Whose moral ideas are going to win? Are going to make the ascendancies? That's the argument. What is right? What is wrong? Who gets to decide? In our country, there were two things that settled the issue. One was natural law. There's a fundamental knowledge of what is right and wrong, and the Bible talks about that, especially in Romans chapter 2. There is a natural law that God puts into every heart. Everybody kind of knows you shouldn't rob people. You shouldn't steal from people. You shouldn't murder people. Everybody, there's an intrinsic knowledge of that. It's in the natural law. We all understand that. And the other thing is the Bible. And the Bible clarifies natural law and became the rule of practice in our country. And as William Blackstone said, I mean, they're both of equal authority in one sense, but the Bible just clarifies things. The Bible tells us, first, you know, the Ten Commandments tells us what is right and wrong, and that morality is the basis of all law in this country, even to some degree to this day. Now, granted, yes, we've lost some things, that's true, but not everything, not everything. Even the laws that we think are wrong, it's for instance, can a man marry a man? Okay, we've talked about that many times. Well, here's the argument from the other side. It's only fair. It's only fair. Or can a woman marry a woman? Hey, a man can marry a woman. Why can't a woman marry a woman? It's not fair that if a man can marry a woman can't marry a woman.